Wait, I was thinking of oh, isn't there like a church song? Every breath you take. No, maybe not. I don't know.
Did you just make the police song into a worship song?
No. I thought it was like, every breath you take, I'll believe in you. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know.
One, two, three, hit it, boy.
So get together, have a few laughs.
Uh-oh. Shit, lady, do I sound like I'm ordering a pizza?
Hey, put the freaking gun down on the ground right now. Take your shot across the freaking street and say it until he's gonna get you.
Hello, and welcome to Where There's a Willis, There's a Way, a film podcast about the multitude of works by Bruce Willis. My name is Kendrick Martin.
And I'm Josh Carter. Today, we're going to be covering Rugrats Go Wild.
Wild.
Woo! Bah, 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 bah. Directed by John Ang, Norton Vergien, Vergien, and Prit Parn, written by Kate Boutelier. I see why you wanted to have the other role. With additional writing by Monica Piper and David Regal. If this is your first time listening to this podcast, what we do here is an in-depth breakdown of a movie starring Bruce Willis, both from a film perspective as well as his individual contributions. We will add the movie to our ranking, talk trivia, and then do the Wheel of Willis.
You can find our previous episodes over at williswaypod.com. We are also part of the Last of the Action Heroes podcast network. Find all of their podcasts over at lastoftheactionheroes.com. Thank you to everyone who supports this podcast. If you want to support this podcast, you can head on over to anchor.fm/willis-way. If you want to support this podcast for free, head to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave a star rating or review, and then get online, get on the internet, get on your blog or your live journal and talk about us. Tell us you've rated us. Tell us how you rated us if you used Spotify, because apparently that's harder than it's not. And then we'll know to go read the review on Spotify.
Yeah, and if you like run a blog, like say Cheap Chicks in the City, and you leave us a review, definitely let us know and we'll go read it out. All right. Speaking of reviews, Kendrick, now comes the part in our podcast, which is one of my favorites and definitely the most confusing, where we will rate a movie out of a Bruce Willis. So that means that we use the letters in Bruce Willis's name to rate a movie. The more letters it gets, the more we recommend it. And if it gets over a Bruce, it means that we would recommend the movie in general. And then the higher amount of letters it gets, the more gusto with which we recommend the movie. So, Kendrick, how do you find this movie?
I have a jar of gusto that I keep in my kitchen cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
And for Rugrats
Just
Go
put
Wild.
On sandwiches.
Yeah, you put on sandwiches or pasta. Makes a great pizza topping.
Nice.
For Rugrats Go Wild, I'm going to give it a BR out of a Bruce Willis.
A BR. I really want these movies to stop sucking, so I stop giving them Bs or lower than Bs. And that's what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to give this movie a Walter Space. So,
wow, that's a sub B.
That's a sub B rating. I was bored to tears, but it didn't offend any of my senses except for the one that says you're being bored to tears. So yeah.
Did you know that in school when they tell you you have five senses, you actually have way more than five senses?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I know that we have the sixth sense based on. Mm-hmm. We're in a post-1999 world. Yeah,
we have the Sixth Sense movie, and we also have a Sixth Sense. But an example of a sense that's not part of the five senses is a sense of temperature or a sense of being upside down. Those are two senses. If you go to the Wikipedia page, there's a whole list of senses, and you're like, wow, this all makes sense.
That wasn't some elaborate setup for a bad pun, was it?
It makes sense. See, if I was a bank right now, I would be using this ad about our interest rates because they'd be historically low and you'd actually only be, no matter how much money you deposited, you'd only make cents.
That is correct. That is correct. Please step right up to buy banking goods.
That's please, like one someone hire me for their bank.
Yeah. U.S. Bank, please. Now, don't make us Chase Bank in order to get the endorsement. Hey, two can play at one game.
I ought to credit your union for that.
That joke was on point. All right. Do you want to read off a tweet that we got so we can get out of this hellhole?
Yes. Thank you for that wonderful segue, Joshua. This tweet comes in from VJ Sankh Paul. And they actually sent this tweet a while ago. Let's see, when did they send this tweet? Back in June, but I didn't check my Twitter direct messages until recently. So apologies. But the tweet reads as follows. Namaste. I just saw your tweet regarding RRR movie. It's our privilege that you would love the film. It's my humble request. Please do watch some of our other best films that I mentioned below. Undoubtedly, you will thoroughly enjoy them. I'm damn sure about it. And then there is a long list, probably of, I don't know, 60 movies, at least. And I will not read them all off, but he ends with, there are more than thousands, but these are a few films I have listed out for you. Do watch it. Have a nice day. And then they post a letterbox about their Indian films. So yeah, thank you. If you missed it, we did a podcast reviewing the movie RRR. Got a lot of good feedback, a lot of just feedback in general. If you want to send us a tweet, you can head to @WillSwayPod on Twitter or Instagram. You could also send us an email, willswaypod@gmail.com. There's also a Facebook page for the Last of the Action Heroes podcast network where all those different podcasts have discussions about their various feeds. And then we also have a Discord where we have different people chittering and chattering about each of the topics of the action heroes. Recently there was a discussion in there about how no one knows how to review a podcast on iTunes.
Or Spotify.
Spotify or iTunes apparently, because I'm not seeing a lot of those listeners, but I guess Josh and I were called out because I was able to do it, and we need to apparently show the masses how it's done.
Yep. Because apparently we have some sort of secret sauce that everybody else doesn't have as far as reviewing goes. I don't know. All right, so before we jump into Rugrats Go Wild, we're gonna take a quick break. Where are pretty
faces that you find? All right, now we're gonna get into Rugrats Go Wild.
Seven fun-filled days on the SS Nancy.
In all their adventures, the Rugrats
are queen of the world.
Have always gone far.
This is just like my bathy. Only there's no rubber ducky, and I'm not Nikki.
But this time,
whoa! It's a 40-foot wall of water.
We're gonna need a bigger boat.
They're going completely overboard.
Abandon ship!
Ooh. Land ho!
Now
we're stuck on a tropical island that don't got no people on it.
But we're here, Angelica.
I mean, people who matter.
They're about to discover. Wild adventure.
Let's go. Well, there's the bald leading the bald.
Wild life.
Crocodile!
And something beyond their wildest dreams.
Pipe down,
monkey! Where'd you come from? This is supposed to be a deserted island.
The wild Thornberries.
Look! It's Nigel Strawberry!
I'm coming down!
Are you okay, mister?
Watch what I can do. I'm a ballerina!
Maybe he's got the ivy rash.
Spike finds his voice.
Could you give a dog a little warning?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
You know, it's funny. For a minute there, I thought I actually heard you talking to me. You talking to me? Are you talking to me?
Yeah, I can talk to animals. It's a long story.
Chucky meets his double.
You're gonna boogle, whack, whack.
When did Chucky start talking backwards?
And Angelica.
Me too.
Meets her match.
Woo! Should I stay or should I go?
Yeah!
Yeah, put a sock in it, knucklehead.
Rugrats Go Wild. Featuring the voice of Bruce Willis as Spike.
I ate one of Chucky's diapers one time, and let me tell you, that is spicy.
Woof! That's right. I said woof.
That audio was from the trailer of Rugrats Go Wild. I'm going to read the description from IMDb. The Rugrats get tangled in an exotic adventure where they're helped by the Thornberries, a family that travels the world making nature documentaries. You can find this movie on HBO Max and available for rent on VOD. Joshua.
Yeah.
You detested this movie, it seems.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Disgusted did this movie.
Yep.
And actually, right. I'm looking. Oh, we don't have. I don't know what our. I didn't write down what we rated Beavis and Butthead on the Bruce Willis scale. I know it's at the bottom of our movie list, but
I seem to remember it being a W.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. So before we start, I think it's worth talking about our history with both Rugrats, Wild Thornberries, and Nickelodeon cartoons in general. So why don't you start?
Okay. I have a really not a long history. I wasn't allowed to watch Rugrats when I was a kid because they were annoying, was my parents' reasoning for that. And I literally didn't know what the smashing meme was from. That the Wild Thornberries smashing meme. Have you seen that one?
No.
It's like it's kind of like, I don't know, between the different dimensions of memes as far as that goes. Like there's a long period of memes where they were pretty much the same thing, like Velociraptor and stuff like that. And then there's kind of like the Ugandan Knuckles / smashing memes for a while.
Okay.
And then now we're in the third era of memedom.
Gotcha.
I'm a professor of memology. I don't know if you know that.
It's like the Pleistocene age, but for memes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I was familiar with the smashing meme, but I didn't know that was from a thing. And moreover, I didn't know that was like
you thought
a
it was just
show.
Like an immaculately concepted image or something.
I didn't know. So when he pops up in this movie, I was just like, what the fuck is this? Is this what the smashing meme is from? Come to find out, no, that's a whole other show called The Wild Thornberries. So yada, yada, yada. No experience in either of these two properties. The only experience I have with Nickelodeon cartoons is actually the Avatar The Last Airbender and Legend of Korra. And I love both. I think Legend of Korra gets shit on relentlessly. Undeservedly so. The story is more wonky than Avatar's is, but they go to more mature places, I think, in the end. And I think that seasons 3 and 4 are quite excellent. And 1 is also really good, and 2 is bad. So that's my Nickelodeon experience.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I'm a little similar. I did not have cable when I was a wee lad, and so we didn't have any Nickelodeon to watch. And when I would go to like my grandparents' house, usually I would just watch Cartoon Network. Never really watched any of the like Nickelodeon shows. So yeah, no experience really with Rugrats or Wild Thornberries. I might have watched like an episode here or there at like a friend's house or being while it's being babysat or something. I just checked. Rugrats was on the air from 91 until 2004. So that was quite the swath for a kids show to be on.
Mm-hmm.
Wild that Tim Curry was in the Wild Thornberrys. I don't know how long was that show on the air?
I think less time. I think like 6 or 7 seasons, something like that.
98 to 2004. So yeah, less time, but still, you know, 6 years.
Yeah.
So yeah, all that like to say, I don't have any attachment to this work really, but I still enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to. And I can talk into a few details when we get there, but what, like, compared to other animated movies, like based on TV shows, like the Simpsons movie or Beavis and Butthead or anything, what did you like about it? What did you not like about it? It sounds like you mostly didn't like anything.
Yeah, I don't know. So I feel like if I knew more about the characters going into it, maybe I would have appreciated it a little bit more, especially because even with the trailer, it points out like, oh, these characters meet like they're double from a different universe or whatever. Like if they did this with DC Comics characters or whatever, I would just be like shitting myself with excitement. But in this one, I was bored out of my mind, too bored to shit, honestly.
Oh,
so, wow. Yeah, it was bad. Too bored to shit.
I think a good kind of example would be like if they made a Simpsons movie where you ran into the Futurama characters or there's like a Netflix macaroning show. Anyway, I think that would be another example of a good these are definitely produced by the same art style, our house.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's a crossover episode to reference BoJack Horseman.
And I think like I'd watched like half a season or so of The Simpsons before I watched the movie, and I did that on purpose. And I've seen like some of the Futurama quote unquote movies where they were making like 3 episode parters for a while, like the first time they got brought back or so. And I don't know, I feel like a lot of cartoons, if they're made for like 22 minute airings, when they go to an hour long movie or an hour and a half long movie, there's just some issues that the writers have to go through in order to figure out how to craft something that's really entertaining for that long. I think the Simpsons movie is actually really great, all things considered. I'm not going to give it like a 5-star or anything like that, but I think they do a pretty good job of kind of distilling the Simpsons humor from like a whole season and then packing in a bunch of jokes into kind of a fun story. But this movie, it didn't sell me on the characters. I was really annoyed with the way that they were talking. Not as annoyed with Beavis and Butthead, obviously, but I do not like hearing adults do baby talk for an hour and a half long. Didn't scratch my itches. I guess that was kind of like the main thing, is that I just didn't really like the vibe of everything. So it was hard for me to get into it.
It's funny we talk about movies based off of long-running TV shows, because I watched the Bob's Burger movie recently, which just came out this summer. Really good, I found. Bob's Burger, again, is like a TV show that's been on for, I don't know, 10 years or longer.
Yeah,
quite a while. And 20-30 minute short episodes, but they made a full feature length movie that came out, and I thought it did pretty well. It feels like a longer episode and definitely doesn't have a lot of the same fast pace that Bob's Burger episode does, but still like a lot of fun. And if you like Bob's Burgers, I would recommend it. But we're not a Bob's Burger, we're not a Bob's cast. But I would do a burger cast. We should do one of those. I went into this movie thinking that the Rugrats characters were going to really annoy me, and feeling prepared to be like antagonized or have like that like grinding of the teeth feeling that I felt when watching Beavis and Butthead, or some other like Cartoon Network or Nickelodeon shows of the era that is all, it's like cartoon slapstick humor starts to like grate on me. And that's kind of what I was expecting. But actually, I found it not really to do that. And actually, the like baby talk was really cracking me up. And I don't know if it's because I turned on the captions and you can see what words they're saying, which I found like really funny. And I should have wrote some down, but they don't. They say made up words or like sounds like words to talk about something. Like one of the obvious examples that's not really that funny is they call the Wild Thornberries guy Mr. Strawberry or something instead of Thornberry.
Yeah.
And like that's like a running gag. But there's just a whole lot of those where I think it might have just glossed over me if I hadn't had the subtitles on and being like, oh, they're calling it this every time. That to me was just really funny. Also, I thought the art was really good. And there's like a 3D camera. And I'm pretty sure this was kind of at the era where like the 3D animated camera in movies started to become much more of a thing. And you start to see a lot of animated shows like The Simpsons or like Futurama start to make use of like a 3D camera where you're not just on like a static background, but like the shot can rotate and you see like the dimensions of buildings and you feel the camera move through the scene versus the like elements of the scene move in front of a camera. I was really impressed with it and I thought it looked really good for its age. It's, you know, 20 years old and it doesn't look like bad CG and it doesn't look like static hand-drawn animation. It looks like a fairly decently animated film. So I thought that was really impressive.
Totally.
And then the voice acting I thought was fine. Like, again, it's like adults acting like children, but not in a, I didn't find it as obnoxious as like Look Who's Talking, for example. Because I felt like in Look Who's Talking, the adults are just talking like adults, but acting dumb. They're like, oh, I got this thing on my butt. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it. Let's see.
I do agree with a lot of what you just said. And I think that it's the animation I do like, but I didn't really like the art style. So it was kind of like one of those things where you can appreciate the technical aspects of it. But conceptually, I probably would have gone in a different direction if I was in the room as like one of the executives back in 1992.
It's definitely of an era. Like it has that 90s art style, which I mean, it was, if it was, you know, started in 91, that would totally make sense. But it feels like if you watch any 90s sitcom or any 90s TV or something where you see just kind of that, a lot of hard angles and jaggedness that I think that they were kind of going for in the 90s kind of art style. Funny thing that I saw while reading about this movie was when this movie was in theaters, it was released in Smell-O-Vision, which is they give you a scratch and sniff when you walk into the theater, and certain times during the movie a little symbol would flash and you'd scratch that symbol and smell the symbol. And it was like moldy socks was one of them, or like all kinds of weird stuff. And I was like, that must have been terrible for parents in that room.
I honestly respect that so much, and I hate that so much at the same time.
It's we know that was not a long-lived trend, but wowie.
I could imagine just so many horrible things being done with that technology.
Yeah, that's gnarly.
Oh man, can you imagine? So you've tried like the weird jelly bean flavors, right? They make. Can you imagine like one of those, but you eat like a jelly bean at certain points, and then there's like if a character is throwing up, you eat like the vomit one, and then you feel it at the same time as you're like seeing it and hearing it. That'd be horrible. That'd be so horrible.
I love this quote. Is there were some complaints with the Odorama cards. That was what was used for the Smell-O-Vision, including the claim that the cards only smelled like cardboard.
I paid for smelly socks. Why is it not smelly socks?
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't really have much more to say on this movie. I also another thing that I kind of enjoyed was its many homages to just movies in general. Obviously, Gilligan's Island is like a huge point in the ending. That's kind of the solution. Stuff is a very like Gilligan's Island-esque solution. And then they make like a Jaws reference.
Yeah. Stuff involving coconuts, things built out of coconuts. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. 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 I don't know. Again, it's like, I don't know how witty the writing in the TV show was. So I can't say like it was super witty, but the TV show was like really lowbrow, or the TV show itself had a lot of that same kind of like pop culture reference that maybe adults would have gotten. But I think, I don't know if a kid watching this in early 2000s would have known about Gilligan's Island.
No way.
So hard to say. And I think this movie, or I think Rugrats in general, was like marketed to preteens maybe. Or like middle schooler kids. I don't know what age would have been aimed at, but cause I don't think like little kids necessarily, but I think the kind of kids that are like, ooh, butts, poopy diapers. I don't know.
So 26-year-olds?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
One thing I did.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say one thing I did really like about this movie is that I thought I found Tim Curry to be very enjoyable. So despite all my, humdrum about this movie, that doesn't apply to you, sweet angel Tim Curry. I love you.
That's what's wild to me is apparently, you know, he was in the Wild Thornberrys show for however many episodes. And I was just like, wow, his career was just him voicing a weird animated.
Oh, yeah.
Scientist safari.
Apparently
guy?
He does a lot of voice acting, or he did a lot of voice acting for a while. And now he pretty much exclusively does that after his strokes, because it made it so he couldn't use like left half of his face or something like that. Left half of his body, I think. So he like just retired to voice acting, and then he might have retired.
We should do a podcast called like What's Current with Curry or something, where we review all Tim Curry's works.
Yeah. When you talked about the burger thing earlier, I was like, can you imagine a podcast where like we talk about Bob's Burgers, like an episode of Bob's Burgers, and then we try a local burger in town, and we discuss both the burger and the Bob's Burger episode at the same time?
That'd be a fun bonus content episode.
Yeah.
I love burgers, and as someone who doesn't eat meat, it's often hard to find a good veggie burger or like non-meat burger.
Yeah.
Recently, Portland had this thing called Burger Week, which has been going on for, gosh, I don't know, maybe 10 years. It's been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
And the premise is places all over town have burgers for, it's all the same price, but it's like changed a couple times over the years. It's probably like $6-$7 now. And so you go all over town and you can get these burgers, and usually like weird burgers. Historically, it's been really hard to find a vegetarian option. They'll have like maybe one place will do a veggie option. But this year, I went to like, I don't know, probably six. And that wasn't even half probably of all the vegetarian options. And I was just burgering out. It was a Burger Week festival.
Wow. That sounds magical.
Yep. Well, if you're listening and you want to support us and put in your little support tagline for the burger talk, we'll think about doing a burger cast for you, listener. But otherwise, no more burgers.
Yeah, no more burger talk. I would say that one of the episodes we probably would want to talk about is there's an episode where they make a Die Hard musical in that show. Wow. So we should probably talk about that at some point.
Yeah. that's a funny one. I definitely have not seen probably most of Bob's Burgers. I've watched like a good chunk, but not most.
I've watched, I think, two episodes, and that was one of them. Somebody just told me to watch that one. They're like, hey.
That's funny.
That's relevant funny. To your interests. Yeah.
Okay, should we talk about Bruce Willis in this movie?
I think so.
So for our listeners who don't want to take the time to go watch this movie, If you haven't seen it, Josh, why don't you explain what Bruce Willis's role in this movie was?
Yeah. So Bruce Willis is credited as Spike, voice of Spike or something like that. Yeah. The dog Spike. And Kendrick and I both are like, we're going to watch this movie anyway, so I don't want to get spoiled on some stupid trailer about the movie, even for movies where it doesn't matter. We both don't watch the trailer. And Kendrick and I both had the same thought when the movie started, because Spike isn't saying anything. He's just a dog. He's just a regular old dog.
Again, not having seen Rugrats, I assume Spike is in all those. Is a frequent character in those.
Yeah, that's what I'm assuming too. That's what I'm assuming too. So I'm like, he wasn't Spike in the TV show, but he's Spike in the movie. Did like they kick off some less famous guy so they could get a famous Bruce Willis in there? So I was very confused. And then the movie starts and they're like, come along, Spike. And I was expecting Bruce Willis to be like, hey kids, it's me, Bruce Willis, the dog Spike. And instead it's like, he's just woof, woof, woof. And I was like, no way. Did they fucking pay Bruce Willis like however many millions of dollars to just make woof sounds the entire movie? And I'm sure that you had the same thought too.
I did.
You?
Yes, yeah. I did.
Yeah. And then at some point it becomes clear that one of the Thornberry's character can hear and understand what animals are saying. So it's only when she's in scenes than when the Bruce Willis Spike characters in scenes that Bruce Willis is able to talk through the dog Spike. But that's not until probably halfway through the movie. And then Bruce Willis like almost immediately overstays his welcome with his like his shtick.
So, yeah. It's yeah. definitely hamming up the Bruce Willis. And there's a song. There's a few songs in this movie. And I will say that they're all pretty short lived. Mm-hmm. A lot of kids' movies, I feel like their songs can really drag out. But all the songs in this movie are pretty short, including the Bruce Willis one, which is always fun to get a Bruce Willis singing performance.
Oh, totally. Totally.
This may be the last one. I don't know.
It might be. I have no idea. You mean he doesn't sing in Sin City?
You know what? It's been a while since I've seen that movie. He just might. He just might. Yeah. So I definitely was like, oh my God, is Bruce Willis just going to make bark and grunting sounds this whole movie? Thankfully not.
Yeah. But on the other hand,
So we've been in kind of a run of more serious Bruce Willis movies in his career between, Tears of the Sun. And there was another one, I think, right around there. Hearts War. But we had a couple comedies, but even those comedies, like Whole Nine Yards, he wasn't like his real goofy self. He was just kind of like his semi-comedic self. Or Bandits, again, even as a comedy, it wasn't like over-the-top Bruce Willis. Yeah. So it was nice to get that element again, and he makes some funny jokes about he loses his sense of smell, which is never explained.
Mm-mm.
They make a big point about how Bruce Willis, the dog, loses a sense of smell, and so he can't find the kids, and they never say why. They're just like, oh, you can't lose your sense of smell.
Yep.
Sorry, dog.
Yep.
Big plot hole this movie has. Did you have any strong feelings about his performance in particular?
I thought that he was fine. They just probably gave him like, I don't know, maybe 7 or 10 too many lines. Like, I was just like, I want to hear less from the dog. I don't know. Like, there's one bit where he like goes on an extended bit about like eating diapers or whatever. Yeah. And I don't know. I'm just like, I'm a dog and I eat shit. I'm like, ha, 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 ha. I don't know. I've been in too many bad improv scenes that approximate that. So
I was actually surprised at the overall. There was not a lot of like gross out humor as I was expecting.
Yeah.
Other than like that scene where they're talking about eating dirty diapers, there wasn't like a lot of it.
Yeah.
And again, maybe that's normal for Rugrats and I'm just like putting my lens on the show for not having seen it. We should have really got a Rugrats expert on the show. If you're listening and are a Rugrats expert, why don't you email us, willswaypod@gmail.com, your opinions on Rugrats.
Or if you'd rather have us read it in like 3 months, you can send us a Twitter DM, mm-hmm. and then we'll see it when we see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Why don't we talk about the box office?
All right. So box office for this movie, they spent in 2003 dollars.
That's not that many dollars.
Yeah. 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 They spent $2,003 on this movie. no. So they spent how many multitudes of $2,003 did they spend on this movie?
Oh, $2,003 is one big one.
Yeah. One big one. yeah. Anyways, so they spent $25 million on this movie. Don't get me started. $25 million on this movie. And it brought in $55.4 million. So just over half haul. And usually with a movie's marketing, it's about the same as a budget is what I've heard for a big studio. So I would guess that this movie wasn't a smashing success, but it, you know.
Was that Jurassic era meme or whatever we were just talking about?
Yep. It is. Yeah. So it made back some money, but not tons.
One thing I would love to do is sit down and calculate opening weekends and figure mm-hmm. out how this compares to like the opening weekend of another kid's movie, maybe The Kid or Beavis and Butthead or something. I wonder, like, was this movie like one weekend and then just pooped out right away, or did it last for quite a while in the summertime? It came out in June 13th, 2003.
Hmm.
So it's like early summer.
Yeah. Yeah. The last thing that I'll say about this movie, by the way, that I found pretty funny was when we looked up the trailer for Rugrats Go Wild, it's posted by somebody on YouTube named VHS Land, and the description that they put with the trailer is the trailer for the 2003 Nickelodeon film Rugrats Go Wild. Wasn't a fan of this film, sad face. And I find that funny, and I agree. VHS Land on YouTube, I agree.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a moment and talk about our Star Trek connections. So this movie had three acting Star Trek connections, which
is like acting captain, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Acting captain, acting ensign, the various acting schmactings.
Yes.
Let's first talk about Michael Bell. In Star Trek, he played a couple different characters. Which is interesting because I don't know how common this is, but this is a single actor who played three completely different characters in Star Trek. And they look completely different. They're in different shows. It's just funny, like, I don't know if there's a lot of other actors that have just played completely different other bit roles in Star Trek. Mm-hmm. But so in Star Trek, he played Zorn, which in the opening, the series premiere of Star Trek Next Generation, Encounter at Farpoint, he's like, I think he's like one of the guys who manages the Farpoint station, if I recall. And then in Star Trek Deep Space Nine, he was the character of Borum, which is, I believe, a Bajoran of some kind. And then he was also a character named Drofu Awa in the same season in a different episode, which is like that is some alien creature with a bunch of makeup on that I couldn't speak to.
Nice.
He in Rugrats Go Wild plays the characters of Chaz Finster and Drew Pickles. These are two of the parents Let's see if who their kids are. So Chaz is the dad of Chucky, if that's helpful.
Yep.
And Drew Pickles is the dad of Angelica.
Okay.
So that's one guy. That's Michael Bell. Then we have Tony J, who is a character actor who's been in a lot of different things. And in this movie, he plays the character of Dr. Lipschitz, although I don't remember, like, apparently that's a reoccurring character in the Rugrats story. I don't remember him in this movie. He's like a psychologist, a child psychologist, and like the kids go to him. So yeah, I don't recall him at all in this movie, but according to IMDb or whatever, he is in this movie. But then in Star Trek, he plays this character called Campio, which is there's a Next Generation episode about Luxwana Troi getting married, and he is the person who's engaged to her. But yeah, if you look up Tony J, he's been in like tons of stuff. He's super recognizable.
Yeah.
And then finally, and most famously, Ethan Phillips is in this movie.
Woo!
Ethan Phillips, you probably know from Star Trek Voyager. He was Neelix.
Boo!
And in this movie, he plays, he's the only crossover we have, the connection we have, who's only in the movie. He's not like a reoccurring member of Rugrats or Wild Thornberrys. This is a Toa, a talking lemur. So similar to how Bruce Willis is really only seen shortly in the scenes talking to Eliza, who can talk to animals. This is a lemur on the island that can talk to her. So interesting that he only has that short bit, but neat. Do you know if he does a lot of voice acting?
I would probably assume so. Because, like, I feel like a lot of the Star Trek characters that appear pretty much almost exclusively under a ton of makeup usually end up also being a voice actor as well.
That makes sense.
Yeah, because they want people who are, like, super conventionally attractive typically to be human characters.
I mentioned this in one of our bonus episodes about Star Trek, but there's a Nickelodeon animated show actually called Star Trek Prodigy, I think.
Oh yeah.
That is just came out this year, and it is definitely like a kids focused Star Trek animated show. Mm-hmm. And Kate Mulgrew is like a recurring character on that, as like an animated holographic version of Captain Janeway. So yeah, the, Nickelodeon's owned by Paramount, so it would make sense that they would have probably a lot of Star Trek connection talent there.
Yeah. I do like how this is a Paramount movie, but it's on HBO Max and not Paramount Plus.
Yeah. I was thinking that too. Interesting how that's the case. And I think actually Rugrats is also all on
HBO.
HBO, the TV show. Huh. I could be wrong, but I thought I looked that up right. And yeah, I guess that just HBO must have bought like a bunch of Nickelodeon streaming rights.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe.
It's the mysteries.
Well, sounds good. Thank you for guiding us through the Star Trek connection.
Yep.
Where would you put this movie in comparison to all of the other movies that we've seen? Is it with The Sixth Sense and The 12 Monkeys and The Fifth Elements and The Pulp Fictions? Or is it with the Look Who's Talking Twos, The Bonfire of the Vanities, and The Beavises and the Buttheads?
The Bonfire of the
Vanities.
So this movie I'm going to put at number 31, right?
Okay.
Above The Kid at 32 and below Billy Bathgate at 30.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you definitely like this movie more than I did. I'm going to put this movie at 36, just below The Bonfire of the Vanities and just above Look Who's Talking 2, because unlike Look Who's Talking 2, I wasn't actively mad, but I was also extremely passively disengaged while watching this movie, and at least Bonfire of the Vanities made me go, what the fuck am I watching? Constantly. So I think I would rather have that than
Bonfire of the Vanities than this nothing burger.
I think so.
Of a Rugrats Go Wild. Okay. I mean that's valid. That's valid.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. This was our 38th Willis movie to cover. Well, Joshua.
Well, Kendrick.
I think that's the end of the... We don't have anything else to do, right?
Nope. Yeah, I think signing off. So, yeah, you can find me on Twitter at...
Ding, 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 ding. Oh, sorry, my alarm just went off.
Oh, whoops. What's your alarm for?
My alarm is for telling us what time it is.
Oh, okay. Okay, you have an alarm that tells you what time it is?
Yeah. I don't know what your alarms are for, but that's what mine does.
I lose track of the time all day long, so I just set alarms throughout the day on each hour. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if that's how clocks work, if it notified you on the hour each hour?
That is how clocks work. Have you ever never seen like a clock with a bell?
I don't know if that's how clocks work. I don't think so. Can you imagine if like that's what Big Ben did? Like just it was like ding ding and then you know it's 2 o'clock. That'd be insane.
Yeah, how weird would that be?
That'd be so crazy.
Did you ever live anywhere or live close to a clock tower or with bells?
I haven't lived nearby a clock tower, but my grandparents did have a grandfather clock that dinged on the hour.
Would ding on the hour. Yeah. I used to live here in Portland close to a Catholic church. It was a fairly big church, and it had like a school and stuff, and they had a clock tower that from like... I want to say 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. it would chime the time. And it was like, I don't know, 3 or 4 blocks away. It wasn't super close, but you could hear it pretty well. So it was some pretty loud clock tower.
Loud clanging.
Yeah, not like Big Ben or anything. When I was a kid, there was a town where it was like a small town in Kansas near where my grandparents lived. And they had a horn that would blow every day at noon. Like, out of the old timey movies where it was like lunchtime and, you know, everybody come running out of the mines or whatever they're doing for their sandwiches. Very strange. And I actually I couldn't tell you now like what town that was or why they did that or what. I don't know. But I just have a very vivid memory of lunchtime, everyone.
And then you put down your pickaxe and your dynamite.
Yeah. Yeah.
Grabbed your mine bird. And
me and the other six dwarves headed off to see if Snow White was in our house.
Oh man, some goofy shit. Yeah.
Yep, all that to say, Joshua, it's time for the Wheel of Willis.
What? I'm so excited. I'm so pumped. I didn't even know that was coming. I can't read notes.
Oh, that's too bad. That really, I should not spend so much time on these notes then.
You shouldn't. I only can read formatting, so yeah.
So if it's big font, you talk loud. If it's little font, you talk normally.
Oh, man. Well, do you know what we should write in big font then?
The same thing that we say every time?
Yeah, which is...
With that wheel!
All right. Okay. If you could change the ending of this movie, would you change it and how?
I'm going to say they don't get off the island. They are stuck there forever.
I think that's pretty funny. I do think that's pretty funny. I think I probably would have killed the kids when they're down in the... No, just kidding. No, I think that would be pretty funny. I think it would be great if at the end they finally get off the island right as the cruise ship docks at the island for like a week or whatever. So they're like, we're going to an abandoned island. And then the cruise ship docks there right as they leave. I think that would be pretty ideal.
Yeah. So for those of you listening, the premise of this movie is all these families are kind of like told they're going on a cruise and they head down to the dock and the cruise ship's pulling away and there's like a rug tug tugboat and they're like, this is what our cruise is going to be. And then they all have a terrible time on this tugboat and shipwreck on this island where the wild thornberries are. And then at the end, they all, I guess, turn their car back into a boat and sail off for the cruise. They don't really explain how they leave the island, but I guess that's movie magic.
I wasn't sitting there like, where's my next 5 minutes of movie? I was like, thank God it's done. All right, goodbye.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well, on that note, I think that's going to do it for this episode.
Hey.
You can find more episodes of this podcast, willswaypod.com. Is it willswaypod.com or just willsway? Yeah, it's willswaypod.com. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
You can email us, willswaypod@gmail.com, or follow us on social media at willswaypod.
Woo! Where can people find you on the worldwide internet?
Thank you for asking. You can find me on Twitter at kmartinix. That's kmartinix, where I'm live tweeting my watch of The Wire for the first time.
Woo! I've never seen it. It looks like it's a sad TV show, and me and sad TV shows get very sad.
How about you, Joshua? Do you have an internet online presence?
I do have an internet online presence. You can follow me on Twitter at Joshing Carter. I make jokes and stuff. And yeah, that's about it. That's about it. If you follow me, you will also get many, many likes showing up. Josh Carter liked this. Josh Carter liked that. And I do apologize for that because
I turn that off so that I don't see that.
That's good. Is there a way to do that? Have I just been?
Yeah, you change your Twitter feed to be latest tweets or timeline tweets and not just like so and so pooped on this or so and so is thinking about this. No. I don't want to see any of that nonsense.
Oh my God.
You click the little stars and you say show latest tweets.
Oh my God. Well, I'm my life is changing right now.
Yeah, I'm showing you some knowledge. They will oftentimes try to reset that, and you have to go back and change it. It really bugs me.
Ugh.
But anyway, at the end of these episodes, we like to leave a little sweet treat, which is something we want to recommend, something we've been watching or doing or not doing or thinking about. I should have made my sweet treat how to change your Twitter timeline settings, but I didn't. Josh, do you have a sweet treat for people?
That's a good question. My sweet treat is going to be a little bit off the cuff because I'm not even pulling it from my list, but I would actually recommend that people go and watch the OG Star Wars. Watch that movie, because I know that people probably already seen various versions throughout their life, but I found like a despecialized version that was put together by this guy called Harmy, and I love seeing the OG effects and everything like that all in the original glory. So if you have access to watch Star Wars as it came out in the theater or close to it, I would recommend watching that because it's magnificent seeing it in all of its 1977 glory. Not CGI'd, shipped to death. So my recommendation is OG Star Wars.
The real question is, who shoots first?
Oh, Han, for sure. Han shot first, absolutely. Yeah, what about you?
Mine is going to be a movie you can get on Hulu right now called Prey. It is written and directed by Dan Trachtenberg. Stars a whole bunch of people. Amber Midthunder is the lead. It is a it's set in the early 1600s in North America, and it is about a group of Native Americans who are fighting a force. I don't want to spoil it. It's all the marketing has spoiled what it actually is. So there's a good chance, even if you haven't seen it, you probably know what's going on in this movie. Mm-hmm. But I found it super enjoyable and loved it. And I've loved Amber Midthunder and some other stuff. She was in the TV show Legion, which is one of my favorite shows. So it's a great movie. And it's on Hulu. That's Prey.
Nice. Nice. Well, next time, you guys are going to have to join us because we will be covering the whole 10 yards.
Bow, 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 bow. Other than Die Hard, is this the only other sequel we've ever done?
Psh. Y'all are going to make me look at my list. No, look who's talking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, what a pedigree we have to hold up to.
Yep. Well, I'm pretty sure it's not going to be the worst of the sequels that we've had to cover, but who knows?
That's fair. That's fair.
Who knows?
And there's definitely more sequels to come that aren't Die Hard. So,
oh, yeah. Oh,
that's
yeah.
exciting. If maybe I've asked you this before, and I don't know why I'm just spawning this on you now, but if you had to pick a movie that we've talked about, not Die Hard, what would you have a sequel be to?
God, I don't remember how a lot of these movies end, so I don't know.
I think we've done this question in like a mailbag. I think we pulled this for a mailbag.
Probably. I could see a Last Boy Scout 2. I think a Bandits 2 would be kind of fun.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think a sequel to Bandits would be a lot of fun.
I think The Fifth Element would be fun to see a sequel to that one, too.
Yeah, although they saved the universe, and I don't know where there is to go.
Yep, that is true. That is true.
like a super small stakes, little Lilo in Dallas, Dallas something. I don't remember his last name.
I don't know.
Their kid is like running around. It's a coming of age film set in the year 7000 or whatever.
Yep.
All right. Well, like Josh said, next time we're going to be covering the whole 10 yards. I like the whole 9 yards, so I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, same here. We'll catch you guys then. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, everybody.
Goodbye. Oh, yes, it's fun time.
Fun time. Let yourself be happy. It's fun time.
I made all that banter and I realized I probably should have looked to see if we got a review on Spotify. I don't know how to tell.